Those that are staying with me in here, why, get your Bibles. We're going to do a little Bible study today on the name of Jesus. And I think I'm going to let some of y'all help me out by reading, if I can get this thing on. So those that would like to, if you don't mind standing up and reading aloud, then I'll let you participate, and we'll just, those that want to, and we'll do some studies. And it's going to be sort of a simple Bible study on the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the word we have in our hands and the changes it's brought in our life. We thank you, Lord, for so great a salvation, and Lord, that you did it all. We thank you. And then, Father, we just pray that you'd bless each one of us today. Help us to be in the center of your will. Help us to do that which pleases you. Help us, Lord, to understand better your word and have a greater appreciation for it. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Start with Matthew 12:21, and I'm going to read that one and just make a few comments, and then we'll start looking as to what the Bible has to say about the name of Jesus Christ. Matthew 12:21. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Well, who are you? I'm a Gentile. I don't know about you, but if I got any Jewish blood in me, I don't know about it. So as far as I know, I'm one of those Heinz 57 varieties, you know. I got a whole lots of different kind of blood in me that goes back a long way. Now, it said that we're going to trust in his name, and I believe that's happened already, hasn't it? I mean, a lot of Gentiles have trusted in his name. And you know, that's the name I trust in more than I trust in any other. Any other name, no matter what. More I trust in that name more than any of the others. And I thank the Lord. What a great salvation. I was just thinking, as I do quite often, about my life and the different choices or the different opportunities that were afforded me in my life and the choices I made, the turns I made, the roads I took. And I'm glad I turned down an assignment to University of Syracuse, New York, and went out there and poured gas on an Air Force base in Roswell, New Mexico. I got saved.
Praise the Lord.
Man, I got saved. And by the way, the guy that was really instrumental in leading me to the Lord, my next door neighbor that invited the preacher over to get me, he called me this week. Got to talk to him again. And he's still doing well. But what a difference it makes that God brings things into your life and you have to make some choices and then look what comes of them. And you look back on how you got saved. Do you get saved because of your mom and daddy? Do you get saved because of some friend? Do you get saved because of your husband or your wife? What was it, the influence that came to you? All I know is, by the grace of God, in his name, I trusted. And in the names of the Gentile trust. So what about the name of Jesus? How important is the name of Jesus? And that's what I want to talk about today. I think it's very important. And in my life, I've had lots of experiences, and by taking a stand on the name of Jesus, you naturally stand against denominational names. The denominational name is not that important. I've known some saved Methodists and some lost Baptists, and it just happens that way. So you need to be careful what you do and what you lift up. I remember right after I had really begun to be strong on the name of Jesus and taken a stand on it myself, I went to a mission conference, and I heard this preacher, a renowned preacher, a very famous preacher, a man of very high respect in certain circles. And I just sat back there, and I began to count the number of times he said Baptist. Over 40. In his message, he said Baptist over 40 times. And he mentioned Jesus Christ 3 times. Now that just stood out. I don't believe anybody else in the whole place heard it. You understand what I'm saying? It didn't, you know. And somebody says, well, he said Baptist. Well, that's synonymous. No, Baptist and Jesus are spelled different. That means they're different. You haven't figured that out? When words are spelled different, they generally have a little difference. They do. They do. And you know, we get so that we brag on our denomination, and you better not be bragging too much on we're non-denominational or whatever. You better brag on the name of Jesus.
Right. Amen.
Now, once you begin to see, and I hope I can make some of you see some of it today at least. Maybe some of you have already. Once you begin to see the importance of the name of Jesus as it's said, stated in the Word of God, why would you go to any other? Why in the world would you let it be corrupted? Why would you mess with it? And this is just one thing, their trust right there. Now, who would like to read some verses? Anybody? All right, Adrian, you turn to John 1:12. Somebody else? Danny? How about John 20:31? Who else? Bernie? Acts 8:12. Berlin? Acts 2:21. Who else? Yes, sir. How about Acts 9:21? Somebody else. All right. That's Romans 10:13. And we'll stop there. I've got a whole lot of verses. So we're going to go through quite a few. I want you to just take a look at what the Word of God says about these things. Now, who has John 1:12? Read it for me.
But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name.
Thank you. Power to become the sons of God? How? Believing on His name. Even them that believe on His name. It's not believing in a certain church. It's not believing even in a certain set of doctrines, although there are certain doctrines about Jesus that are important. Very much so. But it's that name that opens the door, and it's that name that you call upon. So that's what He said. Who has John 20:31?
But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life.
Amen. That you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. These things are written. I love that verse. I don't know how many times I've used that verse in witnessing to people and telling them to read the book of John. Read this Gospel of John. Read it over and over again. Why? This is why it was written. That you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing, what do you get by believing?
Life.
Praise God. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful. Who has Acts 8:12?
When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized.
All right. They believed Philip preaching the things of the kingdom of God. Concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And they were baptized, both men and women. They believed some things concerning the name of Jesus Christ. And when you think about that, what is it that we're told? We're told that Jesus is the only Savior. We're told that He's the only one that died. He's the only substitute. We're told He's God in the flesh. And so we got an awful lot of things that have been told about Jesus. So when they're out preaching, what are they preaching? Well, they're preaching things concerning the kingdom of God, talking about salvation and the reign of God, and the name of Jesus Christ. So they believed. Not only did they trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we've just read verses that said they believed. Now, who has Acts 2:21? Call. Call. What are you calling on? Well, what about if you call on Allah? What about if you call on Buddha? What about if you think you got to go to God in the name of Jehovah? What if you're a Jehovah's Witness? What if you witness for Jehovah? It's not the same. It's the name of Jesus. And it says they called on the name of Jesus. You know what? That's what I did. I don't know about you. I know that's what I did. I was in trouble. I felt I was deep in sin. And by myself, well, really wasn't. I had my oldest boy there with me, but he was just a little baby, 11 months old. I was on my knees and I called on the name of Jesus Christ and boom, what a change. Wow. What a difference it makes. Called on the name of Jesus Christ. Who has Acts 9:21?
But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests?
Okay. Who were they destroying? Who were they mad at? It says that destroyed them that called on this name in Jerusalem. They called on that name, and that got them in trouble. They weren't worried about another religion. Do you think about all the different religions there are out there and all the different parties that come up? They got mad at Jesus. Let me tell you what today. The honest truth is, the only one you can get away with knocking is a white male Christian. That's the only one that doesn't have a movement for him. You know? You got women's movements. You got all sorts of ethnic movements. You got all sorts of things like that. What happened to the white male Christian? It is something. But it's Christian too. Why do you think they don't like Christ all around this world? It's the same thing right here. It's the same prejudice. What do we got going in here? We got some bells and whistles or something? Shut it off or shut it up. All right. Then let's see. How about Romans 10:13? Yeah, how's that? What a great verse. What a great verse. The Bible tells you you ought to trust in the name of Jesus, you ought to believe in the name of Jesus, and you ought to call upon the name of Jesus. And how many times, in how many gospel tracts, these I carry in my pocket all the time, and those out there, they got Romans 10:13 in them. Romans Road, finish up the Romans Road, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that good news?
Amen.
That's fantastic news. But you're calling on what? The name of the Lord. Who is your Lord? You're calling on the name of Jesus Christ. And it's just a beautiful thing. Well, I wonder what they preached in. Somebody else want to do something? Who would read a verse for me? Yes, sir. No? Yeah, okay. All right. Acts 4:7. Somebody else. Yes, sir. Acts 10. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Just Acts 4 and 7. We'll all go to there at one time. Take Acts 9:26 and 27. And one more. Yes, sir. How about Luke 24:47? Luke 24:47. Look at Acts 4. Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 7.
And when they had set them in the midst, asked them, by what power or by what name have ye done this?
Okay. By what power or by what name have you done this? They were doing things in a name. They were preaching in a name. Now, the reason why I stopped and didn't give these others, I want you, all of you here, if you're in Acts chapter 4, there's a bunch of verses in Acts chapter 4 that we need to read. Look at verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What name are they preaching in? The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And how did they heal this man? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So not only verse 7 and verse 10, look at verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Man, what an exclusive statement.
Amen.
Now, sometimes, those of us that are fundamental, believe the Word, just believe the Bible, are really accused of being very exclusive and very excluding everybody else. That's a very exclusive verse right there. Neither is there salvation in any other. Well, that's a definite statement. That's the word. If it's the Word of God, then you just have to accept it as the Word of God. If it's not the Word of God, then you can just pick and choose what you want to believe out of it. Would you like all the rest of the world anyway? You don't have any authority, period. But if this is your authority, look what that says. Neither is there salvation in any other. All of your other hopes are no hopes at all. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You don't have a choice but to go this way if you're going to get saved. And if you're going to believe the Bible, you're going to have to believe this about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that I've gone to Sunday school for 25 years. It's not that I've got stars besides my name. It's not that I've memorized the Bible. It's not that I've been a good little boy. Do you have the name of Jesus Christ? Have you called upon God in the name of Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in what Jesus Christ has done? Man, I'm telling you, the name is important. And then look at verse 17. But that is spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. What are they saying? You can't ever preach? No. You can't make a tumult in the streets? No, that wasn't their problem. We don't want you preaching in this name. You guys are causing trouble with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. So what did they preach in? They preached in the name of Jesus. Now look at verse 30. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. You believe it? I personally believe it. Signs and wonders done by the name. Power of God is amazing. And what God has done in the past through the name of Jesus Christ and what He's still doing today in the name of Jesus Christ. I think of some of those guys that I preached to down there in Mexico and met and know. And what they've suffered for the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, lost their family. Family don't like them anymore. Kick them out. I've known of Jews that got saved and their family had a funeral service. They buried them. They were dead to the family. They suffered something for the name of Jesus Christ. So they preached and taught in the name of Jesus. Who has Acts 9, 26 and 27? Amen. What would you think if they all of a sudden were going to bring Saul into your group? You got a little group of Christians hiding, meeting secretly. You're a little bit afraid of somebody going to turn you in or going to haul you off to jail. And you know what this guy has done. You realize what Saul had done? When they're stoning Stephen, he's there saying, "Go for it, boys. I'll hold your coats. Go ahead, take him out." The Bible tells us that he took men and women and beat them and put them in prison. And I don't know how many of it maybe were killed. That's a dangerous man. Now, he says, "I'm a Christian now." Would you just want to say, "Well, welcome in. Come on in, Brother Saul." No, you'd say, "I don't know whether I want to let him know my name or my address. Let's hold him a little bit out of the way." But you know, Barnabas, son of consolation, Barnabas, good guy, one of the really good guys. You know, every once in a while you meet somebody like that. They're just a good guy. Not many, but there's some. They're just really good guys. Most of us are stinkers. But Barnabas was one of those just naturally good guys. And he said, "Hey, look what he's been doing. He took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way." He gives his testimony for him. "He had spoken to him how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." Wait a minute. I was in Damascus. I heard this guy stand up and boldly declare the name of Jesus Christ, the one he'd been persecuting and fighting against and doing damage to and hurting all this time. And the testimony of Barnabas brought him into the church. They accepted him there. But you know what he was doing? What was Paul doing? Preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. He wasn't preaching in the name of some other sect or some denomination or some church or some group or fellowship. He's lifting up the name of Jesus. That's what he did all of his life. And you can read it throughout his writings. He was there to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And we make a great big mistake When we go lifting up our church, or we go lifting up our pastor, or we go lifting up some other something, we go lift up our denomination. Oh, my denomination is the best denomination. You know what? They're stinkers in every one of them. They're good guys in every one of them too. There are probably some saved people in some of these heretical things. I've actually met a few. It just shocked the daylights out of me. I had a janitor one time when I was teaching, and he was a member of a real sect. And so I began to witness to him. He would see my Bible. I kept a Bible open on my desk all the years I taught. And he would come by after school. I'd be grading papers or doing something else. And he would talk to me. And I began to witness to him. The guy was saved. I couldn't get him lost. I mean, he was just saved as could be. I said, what are you doing with this group? He told me what group he was with. Well, that's the only people he knew to find. He didn't know anybody else was out there. So I began to give him, actually this is Jehovah's Witness. And so I began to teach him some things contrary to Jehovah's Witness doctrine. And here's this janitor. He begins to debate the elders of his church. And they don't know where he's getting this information. But he comes back to me, you know, and he say, I told him this, and give me some more verses about this. And I'd line him out some more verses. And he went back, and his own elders couldn't handle him. They brought down the big boys from Dallas. They couldn't handle him. He got a hold of the Word of God. He got a hold of some decent doctrine on the name of Jesus Christ. They kicked him out. He come in one day real sad. He said, they kicked me out. I said, praise the Lord. Hey, that's a real blessing. So he went with the friends. Not much better. But at any rate, you don't win them all, do you? But the truth of the matter is, you get a hold of the Word of God, and you get a hold of some of these things, and all of a sudden it brings light to you, you know. But the amazing thing is that many people in many churches are there for the fellowship of their friends and not for the Word of God. And so he found another place where he could fellowship. I was a little disappointed. I was hoping he'd go a little more stronger, fundamental, you know, clear with the Word of God. But at least he got out of what he was in. Who has the next verse? Let's see. It's, I think, Luke 24:47.
And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem.
Okay. What should be preached? The name of Jesus Christ. And what do you get out of the name of Jesus Christ? Repentance and remission of sins.
Amen.
Did he say something about the name in this?
Yeah.
He said something about the name of Jesus, didn't he? We're talking about repentance and remission of sins, and it ought to be preached in His name. How clear can you get? How many verses do you have to figure out you got a doctrine? And it's amazing how you can read your Bible over and over again and miss it. Not see it at all. Well, let's look at a few more verses. How about John 15:21? Who'll take that? All right, Marty. All right, Acts 5:41. Yes, sir. Acts 9:16. Yes, sir. Acts 26:9-10. Anyone? Danny? Okay. Who has Acts 15:21? Oh, I'm sorry. John 15:21. Thank you. Why are they going to do them to you? For my name's sake. For my name's sake. They're not doing it to you because you look bad, smell bad, dress bad. You know, you sometimes think that way. Every once in a while you get the feeling, you know, do I have B.O.? Do I really dress wrong? Have I really got a sorry personality? What in the world has happened? What happened was you got saved. What happened was you took upon yourself a name. What happened was you said, I have a Lord and I'm different. What happened is I've got something you need. And the world will hate you because of the name of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing how tolerant we want to be in America of all the other religions that there are. so tolerant that 86% of this country professes to be Christian, or maybe more. At least 86% professes to be Christian. And yet, we get all these people going against the country. You can't have these verses of Scripture. You can't have the Ten Commandments. You can't have a Christmas tree. You can't have a Christmas party. Wait a minute. Where does the minority get that right? Have you ever thought about that? And when the Supreme Court for 200 years has upheld these things, they've got them carved in stone on the front of their buildings. Now it's unconstitutional. Give me a break. Somewhere, we got to figure the majority has a few rights. It's the name of Jesus. They don't care about all these other religions. They don't care. They just care when a Christian stands up and says the Bible's true and Jesus is the only way. That's what they care about. It's the name of Jesus. All right, Acts 5:41. Who has that one?
And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for their name.
Why did they suffer shame? Did you know it's written in there? Did you know it is written in there in black and white? They suffered shame for His name. I tell you, once I begin to see it, I've been preaching a long time. I led a lot of people to the Lord before I ever really got a hold of this. But I got to looking at it one time and I began to make a study on it, and wow, did it ever convince me that my job was to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. My job wasn't to let anybody to put His name down. And that I ought to live my life not for any denomination or any church or any group of men. I ought to live my life for the name of Jesus Christ. I have people leave the church because of that sign out there in the front. We don't like your sign. Nobody knows who we are. I said, that's fine with me. I had a man I visited on this Oaknoll. Up here's an older man. Nice fellow. I believe he was a believer. I knocked on his door and he said, oh, you're one of those Mormons down there. I said, no, I'm a believer. I just belong to Jesus Christ. No, you're one of those Mormons down there. I talked to him for an hour. He kept thinking I was a Mormon because of that sign out there. This is the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meetings held here in His name. Let me tell you what. He's worth living for. He's worth suffering for. And by the way, I know when you start to suffer, you don't like to suffer. Anybody here love to suffer? I haven't met any of those people. I don't meet people who like to suffer. Boy, when you're hurting and in the hospital, and man, you want some sympathy. You want somebody to feel sorry for you. I mean, when you're going through a hard time, you've lost your job, and somebody's bad mouthed you, or something's come bad in your life, you want somebody to sympathize with you a little bit. You know what these guys did? They said, we were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. They didn't say for your own sins. You probably ought to take that patiently too. But the truth is, there's not a whole lot of honor in taking it patiently. But there is some honor in suffering for the name of Jesus Christ and counting it a worthwhile thing. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. That's Acts 5:41. How about Acts 9:16?
I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
What are we going to do? We're going to take a fellow by the name of Saul that's been a real persecutor of these Christians, and turn him around, and he's going to suffer great things for the name of Jesus and rejoice in it. And can come to think that it's worth his time. It is. It's worth your time. How great things he's going to suffer. I believe Paul did. Good night. He's bad-mouthed and defamed. Some people, as soon as he'd leave the church he'd started, they'd begin to pick on him. He got out there and shipwrecked three times in the deep. Why? Because he was serving Jesus Christ. He was beaten five times with like those cat of nine tails, where you took 39 lashes, 40 was excessive punishment. 39 was all right. He had that five times. They took a rod, something like a walking stick, bent him over and beat his back. Beat him with rods. They piled the stones up on him, left him for dead. I guess he suffered a little bit. He was in prison for I don't know how many years. Still preaching while he's in prison. He goes before kings, king after king, and witnesses to them. Why? The name of Jesus Christ. And then what they're telling him. Show him how great things he must suffer for my name. You bunch of wimps. We're all a bunch of wimps. Complaining, feel sorry for ourselves. Somebody slights you. They don't like your presence anymore. I remember walking up to a house. They had one of these beautiful front doors, you know, with these two windows going down all the way on the side of that door. I could see them. They're right in there. They'd been to the church the Sunday before. They wouldn't open the door. They did not want to talk to me because I had B.O. Because I wasn't dressed right. No, they did not want to talk to the preacher. That's what they didn't want to do. So I just kept knocking. I am a little mean. I'm not one of those sweet guys. I'm sorry. I got just a little mean streak in me. I was born a rebel out of the womb. Haven't improved a whole lot. My wife says I've improved some. But I just kept knocking on the door. I know the sweat was on their foreheads. I tell you what, they suffered something for his name. Well, you may suffer something for the name of Jesus Christ too someday. But it's worth something to suffer. All right, let's see. How about Acts 26, 9 and 10? Here's his testimony. He said, I thought that I ought to do many things contrary to what? The name of Jesus of Nazareth. And you know, has it struck you yet, as it does me, how many times that's delineated? I mean, just spelled out for you? That statement, that whole story didn't even have to have that in it for you, even though they know it. But it's put in there by the Word of God. It's put in there by the Spirit of God. It's put in there because God wanted to show you something. There's something important about the name of Jesus Christ. And that is a viable doctrine. That is an important doctrine in the Word of God. The name of Jesus. Paul said, he's testifying before kings here. And he says, I really thought that it was what I ought to do. I ought to do these bad things against the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Wow. You heard anything about the name lately? Well, I tell you what, they suffered and they were hated because of the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what started me on my quest, I was listening to my time's going. I get to telling these stories and I lose my time. But I was listening to a heretic on the radio. And they were singing a song. It was out of Chicago. And I was back in college days. And they were singing a song. One way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. And over and over again. One way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. I thought, you bunch of heretics. Baptism isn't the way to get saved. And I began to study my Bible. But you are baptized in the name of Jesus. Not just Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. By the way, that's name singular. Not names of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And by the way, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost aren't names. I'm a Father and I'm a Son. And I got a spirit. I got a ghost. But my name is Lindell. And it was a revelation to me. Let's look at baptism. All right. Somebody want to help me? Matthew 28:19. Who'd like to read it? Yes, sir. Acts 2:38. Yes, ma'am. Acts 8:12-16. Anybody? Yes, sir. Acts 10:48. Okay. Acts 19:5. Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians 1:13. Susanna? Oh, who? Debbie Teachman? All right. You got that? 1 Corinthians 1:13, Debbie. All right. Who has Acts 28:19? I mean, first mistake I ever made. Apologize. Matthew 28:19.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Okay, now if you baptize people that way, and I even use that formula every time I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But there are some people think that's the only way you can baptize, and if you weren't baptized mentioning the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that you're not baptized correctly. Well, I want you to notice something. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not names. Titles. They're nouns. They're titles, but they're not a name. And the name is not names. It is name singular. Amen. Now, can we possibly find out the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? I believe we can. Amen. I just believe we can. Who has Acts 2:38?
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift.
Now, I admitted there's some problems with this verse that some of us have on trying to prove baptismal regeneration. Some people do, but I want you to notice what it said. How were they baptized? In the name. Did they get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? No. That's not what he said. He said in the name of Jesus Christ. So what is the name? Do you think Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, by the way, this is Acts chapter 2, Peter is full of the Holy Ghost when he's preaching this message. The Holy Ghost has come upon him. People are hearing him preaching all sorts of different names. I mean, tremendous miracles have taken place. Jesus has just got through giving him that commission about 40 or 50 days before that. Here he's filled with the Holy Ghost and he stands up and he gives them the formula, repent and be baptized in the name of... Why didn't he say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? He did. Your name of the Father is? It's Jesus. Your name of the Son is? It's Jesus. Your name of the Holy Ghost? It's Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Godhead is in one person, Jesus. Amen. Whatever other names there were in the Bible, and there are numbers of names of God in the Old Testament. You can make studies on them. Some pastors love to teach, and they teach, well, he's Jehovah Jireh, or he's something else along the line. Once Jesus Christ came on the scene, that's the name. No others. All right, now that's just one, Acts 2:38. How about Acts 8:12-16?
But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized both men and women. Verse 16, yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
How clear is that? They believed things concerning the name of Jesus. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. That's just clear as can be. I mean, Jesus is a very important word in this book. The name of Jesus is a very important doctrine in this book. All right, how about Acts 10:48?
And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry a certain day.
He commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord. What is that? It's Jesus, as far as I'm concerned. How about Acts 19:5?
When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. How about 1 Corinthians 1:13?
And is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
How about that? Any of you get baptized in the name of Lindell? How about Paul? How about let's get baptized in the name of Peter? Or let's get baptized in the name of Verlene? What name did you get baptized in? Jesus. That's what he's talking about here. Now I want you to think about it. I have read to you every place that it tells you any formula or any name to be baptized in the Bible. There are other baptisms, but it didn't tell you what they did. Those are all of the places in the Bible where somebody was baptized and it told you what they said. How many times did you find them doing what Jesus said? Every time. But what did they say? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? No. They said Jesus. Now think about that for a minute. That's pretty significant. You know what I did? I worked backwards from that and said, what is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? These men are full of the Holy Spirit. If they aren't, how can you trust anything they wrote? What we have is the doctrine of the apostles. That's what I got in my hand. I believe in the doctrine of the apostles. I've got it, man. I believe they were spirit-led, spirit-filled, and what they said was true. And what they said was, the name of God is Jesus Christ. Actually, it's just Jesus. Christ is another, means Messiah. Jesus is the name. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. In every case. Now, if you were baptized and your pastor baptized you in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, did you get rebaptized? Of course not. What is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? It's the same thing. But don't badmouth somebody's baptism because you're ignorant of the Word of God. Amen? R O me. Well, let's look. Somebody read for me John 14, 13, and 14. Anybody? Yes, sir. Thank you. Somebody read for me John 15, 16. Yes, sir. Somebody read for me John 16, 23. Okay. All right, let's start with John 14, 13 and 14.
And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Asking in his name, that's the way they prayed. How about 15, 16? John 15, 16.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
All right, 16:23.
And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will do.
How are you supposed to pray? In the name of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian prays in. Do you know something? I don't have any credit in heaven. And you don't either. Who does? Oh, in Jesus' name, there are riches beyond description. They prayed in that name. Three times right there, Jesus tells you how to pray. You pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, led by the Spirit of God out of your heart. That's the Christian way to pray. And it's his name. You pray in his name. You got credit in his name. He listens to you because of the name. That name is the name that unlocks the door. That name is the name that gets you entrance. That's the one that has the credit in heaven. That's the one with the bank account with all the riches and glory up there. And what you do is you sign the check with Jesus. Try signing the check with your name. It'll bounce. You're not kidding, it's going to bounce. Oh, Lord, I've been so good. How about this? Lord, I am so pious. I am so sweet. Lord, I've been so lovely. Lord, I've been so good. Please, Lord, reward me for my goodness. What do you think that's going to do? Get you in trouble is what it's going to do. Get you in trouble, but oh, hey, I come to you, Lord, as a miserable wretch. I deserve nothing, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I ask you something. That's what he told you to do. That's what he told you to do. Well, my time's running out, but let me just give you a few ideas. My Bible says they not only trusted, they believed, they called, they preached and taught, they suffered and were hated, they baptized, they prayed, they hazarded their lives, they gathered together, Matthew 18:20 and Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says you're complete in Him. Colossians lets you know that. Colossians 1:18. The Bible calls the name of Jesus the name above all others. Philippians 2:5-11. And we're saved and delivered. Romans 10:13. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord bless you.